KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. Merry Christmas Eve. Happy holidays. I'm Eddie Hughes. Our co-host, Jim Bartko, will be back with us in the new year. But as always, our producer, Kevin Kirsten, is here in the studio today holding things down.
Holding it down.
We've also got a very special guest, a highly acclaimed photographer, a man with not one but two Sports Illustrated covers on his resume, a Bulldog alum and the current official university photographer, Kerry Edmondson. Kerry, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure.
There's a lot to talk about in Fresno State sports and in professional sports as it relates to Fresno. Kerry, we also want to chat with you about your career, especially as it relates to sports photography, this being a sports radio show, and what some of the highlights have been for you. But first, a quick recap of the Fresno State men's basketball game at number 20 Oregon earlier this week. It was a game that the Bulldogs really wanted going in and really had a chance to make a statement with, especially with that loss earlier in the year to Prairie View A&M. The Bulldogs needed a quality win on this non-conference schedule, and this was a good opportunity to get that. However, they came up a little bit short. They got down early in the first half, got down by 14, which has been something we've seen quite a few times when the Bulldogs are playing, you know, a big-time opponent, a highly ranked opponent. And as they typically do after getting down early, they come back in the second half. They make that valiant comeback effort. Got within three there, but just couldn't quite pull it off, Kevin.
Well, the good thing that we know is, you know, Edo came back and he looked like he didn't really lose a step. He had a great game, 12 points. We had a problem with sending him to the free throw line too many times as we were talking off air before we started the show. But, yeah, I think that has to be cleared up. It seems like that they always get into that rut and they have to make like a comeback to come back and win the game. So if we can maybe avoid that in the future and just stay consistent and stay with them in the beginning, the first half of the game, then I think it's going to bring a lot more wins in the future and not make it so hard on the Bulldogs as the year goes on.
That was the non-conference finale. So the Bulldogs now are headed to conference play and, you know, they got a little break here for the holidays before they go to New Mexico. Always a really tough place to play at the Pit. The good news is, against Oregon, the Bulldogs got back Karachi Edo, one of their key players, their a senior leader on this team who was ineligible for the first semester. He's back now. He shot out of the gates, 12.7 rebounds. One of the most athletic guys on the team, probably their best rebounder. So it should be really interesting to see how quickly he can roll into the fold, gel with these guys, many of whom he's already played with, he's already been practicing with, but as soon as he shakes the rust off a little bit, if there is any, he should be a real help to this team and make them that much deeper.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, we had a quiet night from Jamel and, you know, with no threes coming in from him and we're used to having that effort from him and not the effort and much as personal effort, just used to getting the points from him. So that was a big deal and sent him to the free throw line, you know, too many times in the second half. It was a big deal in losing this game. But, you know, we're going into conference play now, so we could kind of put that behind us and worry about the future and bringing home the Mountain West title and concentrating on getting back to the dance.
That's what really matters. And like we said, it gets started at New Mexico. New Mexico also played against a Pac-12 opponent last night. They lost by 31 to Arizona, which I don't think anyone saw coming. That's not what you want for your conference play.
No.
Going against a team like Arizona. Surprising game, but, you know, playing at the Pit, one of the best crowds in the Mountain West, one of the best atmospheres, one of the loudest venues. It's always going to be a tough place to win. But Fresno State went in there last year and got it done. So hopefully the Bulldogs can do it again this year. New Mexico, they've got talent. They've got the preseason player of the year in Elijah Brown, whose dad a lot of people know is Mike Brown, former coach of the Lakers. Been around the NBA for a long time, but the Bulldogs, they'll have that game at New Mexico. Then they're back here at the Save Mart Center New Year's Eve to open conference play at home against Nevada. Maybe the team to beat in the Mountain West. So
they're
the Dogs
hot.
Are really going to need a big crowd out there for that one.
Yeah, sure. Red Wave got to show up for that game. Nevada's playing super hot right now, probably the hottest team in the Mountain West, and that's going to be a game that we're going to need full support for, so everyone got to show up for that one. And everyone on the team's going to have to show up for that one. And like we were talking about earlier, I don't think that's a game that we could fall behind in the first half and be able to make up that ground in the second half. We're going to come out and stay tight with them the whole first half to make sure that we have a chance coming back out at halftime and a chance to close that game instead of coming from behind from so far.
Kerry, you photographed this team a bit this season, a ton over the years. Fresno State basketball. You're always a big part of the planning and brainstorming process when it comes to the marketing shoots that they do for the team. I know you like photographing the high flyers and the most athletic guys all the time. You're smiling right now as I say that, but who are some of your favorite guys to shoot on this year's Bulldog team?
Each guy's got their own specific role. You know, you got Jamel, you know, shooting the threes from the outside. I'm trying to think. You got Watson, who's had some, you know, Sports Center, you know, highlight dunks this year. It's always nice if you can catch some of those for photography, obviously. You know, looking at Hopkins, hoping he gets to drive down to the lane a little bit more because I'm missing some of that Marvell Harris action that we had last year. So those are some of the guys I'm looking for right now.
Yeah, I remember seeing Marvell Harris in the photo studio with you sometimes. That guy, just a character, kind of loosening everybody up. Is that good to have when you're trying to do shots in a studio setting like that?
Yeah, I mean, he actually came in last year, and he said he was looking forward to the shoot for a whole year. So it's always good to have guys with personality like that on the team. You know, I even forgot when we were talking a second ago, Russo's pretty good for photos too. So they got their guys. They got some highlight guys, but, you know, just – we're watching the NBA right now, and you see TJ out there, you know, dunking on guys for the Heat. And then also, you know, you got Paul George. So, you know, like a little bit more action going to the key because right now there's a lot of outside shots being taken.
Well, with Karachi Edo back, I assume.
Oh, yeah, shoot. I forgot about Karachi. Yeah, Karachi's great. He's actually the closest thing to the Marvell personality that we had in studio. He's a screamer in studio, so he loves doing that.
Gets into it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
This year, the marketing campaign across the board for the university revolved around that theme, just the ticket to build our community. I know you've been in a lot of meetings going forward with that and talking about that strategy and how that whole campaign comes together. Photos are a big part of it as far as, you know, being used for the game programs, the posters, sometimes even on TV commercials. But, you know, there's a lot of thought and strategy that goes into a photo shoot like that. And you were just out there last week, I think, doing the baseball and softball.
Yeah.
Ricky Tyler Thomas and Kiara Willis. So people will see those photos coming out soon. But talk about how you come up with your ideas in those some of those brainstorming meetings or where you get inspiration for different themes.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot out there. I mean, social media alone, you can get, you know, so many ideas. This year, I think the community was kind of the key word with that Just the Ticket campaign. So in the brainstorming meetings, a lot of people are trying to come up with ways we can incorporate that. And it's a little tricky sometimes to have an action photo to go with the community theme. So in the end, it came out to some stuff that I saw actually the Raiders doing on their social media campaign where they were incorporating some images and overlaying them on some of the players' jerseys. You know, so we actually this year putting, you know, stuff like ag-related shots downtown Fresno within the players' jerseys, and it came out pretty nice.
Yeah, the reception of those shots, which started with the football season, the football campaign, was really cool. I mean, they're powerful images. You had Aaron Peck was the first one on the poster with, you know, all the downtown skyline, some of that going across his chest.
Yeah, and we made him work on the photo shoot. By the end of the day, he was pretty tired because that was early in the year, and I don't think his endurance was all there yet.
But yeah, powerful shot. Always cool to see the reaction from fans. And I know going back a few years, one of your best ideas since you've been university photographer here at Fresno State is an idea I'm sure a lot of you remember was that water shoot back in 2013. It started with the football season then. They were introducing the new black uniforms, which people were just clamoring over. And it was kind of the first little peek at them where, it, you know, with the wave splashing over them, that water effect, the whole red wave feel, it didn't quite show the full uniform,
yeah.
But it incrementally sort of rolled out. And I know you had the great models for that shoot.
That was a great year.
Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, and Daron Smith, three guys starring in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
Talk about that idea for that water shoot and where you got your inspiration there.
Well, I think, you know, you were involved a little bit on that too, but, you know, some of the guys in the office, you know, we really wanted to go with, you know, catch the wave, red wave idea that we've always had here. So initially I was trying to incorporate red water into the shoot, but that was a little bit more challenging than we expected. So we went with the catch the wave idea, and actually, the players loved it. I remember Derek said it was the best idea we had for a while. And, you know, even bring up the baseball and softball shoot the other day, Ricky Tyler brought up the water shoot. And he's like, that was the best marketing shoot that, you know, that I've seen since I've been around. So it's funny how people are still remembering that. Even I think it's been 3 years now since we did that shoot. You know, we threw real water on them. Some people thought we were photoshopping stuff in there, but everyone got soaked for those shoots, and the pictures actually came out really well.
Yeah, I think people were a little skeptical at first of, you know, getting drenched with a hose and people throwing buckets of water to get that wave effect. But at the same time, I think when it was all said and done, when they saw the end result, people were just pumped up to have that stuff, just powerful images, powerful expressions from all the different student athletes. And I think the fans got fired up about it too. Obviously a good year for the sports teams.
Yeah. I credit the football team's record for our water shoot.
Yeah. When you come up with something like that, when you come up with like a great marketing plan like that, is it like, and you set the bar high and everyone's saying how great that was, the water and everything. Now, does that really put the pressure on you for like the next years, like coming up with the next marketing, you know, the next, how do we follow that? The next poster.
I think it's what's encouraging is that everyone's involved, but that's also the trick, is because everyone's involved. And so I think a lot of people have ideas and it's hard to narrow down to the one that you're actually going to select. So I do think the water shoot got everyone hyped, you know, and it's just, it's a tricky to, you know, because there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen now and we're trying to figure out which idea we're going to go with.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you kind of have to all be unified and really be behind to get the most out of the idea like that, whether it be from rollout of all those different, you know, forms of posters and game programs, and then he carries the social media and the TV spots. But I think it was a successful campaign. It's cool to kind of hear a little bit about the back end of how it all came together. And I know that photo of Devontae Adams, some people might remember, he kind of had that, you know, that crouch going, and you could see that he was wearing a black helmet, a black jersey and pants, and couldn't quite tell what was on everything, but it was enough to get people, you know, like, show us the whole uniform. Come on, hurry up. And that photo actually got you a pretty prestigious award, right?
I think it got first place in
Case.
The Case Awards. Yeah. So the Case Awards is one of the biggest award competitions for universities throughout the nation. I think it's even international too. So he got, that photo got first place internationally that year.
Yeah, definitely a well-deserved honor.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. And thanks, Devontae.
How much do you like being a part in your day-to-day job, being a part of those projects where you're really sitting down, you're brainstorming, you're coming up with a strategy and goals you want to accomplish?
It's awesome. I mean, brainstorming is actually one of the best parts of it. The thing is, I feel like me and some of the graphic designers and, you know, you and the writers, you could actually brainstorm all day over a cup of coffee and just come up with a million ideas. And the trick, because I mean, I'm an idea guy, which is, you know, I preach that first. But after you have all your ideas, you got to figure out which one can we actually implement, you know, because sometimes budget's a concern. I mean, you see some other schools, you know, I'm sure we talk about Pac-12, you know, and all that, but I'm sure they have a little higher budget than we do for some of the photo shoots. So I'm pretty proud of what we accomplish, you know, over here on campus with the resources that we have.
Yeah, and I remember it was pretty funny right after that water shoot happened. We saw the next year Utah try to emulate something a little bit similar. Yeah. And you could tell they really put a lot of budget behind it.
They had a whole warehouse, I think, just dedicated to a photo shoot. And we had a stage on the amphitheater outdoors with some water buckets.
Yeah, so I mean, that's got to make you feel good about what you can accomplish on a budget. And you can still, you know, compete at that level, win the first place awards, things like that. Mm-hmm. But Carrie, you and I have known each other quite a while now. We both met, I think, around late 2001 when we were students at Fresno State. We had both become editors at the campus newspaper, The Collegian, at the same time. You were photo editor back then. I was the sports editor. I'll share this story. It's one you probably know where I'm going already.
Here we go.
But I think everyone listening will enjoy it. But I kept reading The Collegian as a student before working there and seeing all these great basketball and football photos in there by Carrie Edmondson. And I was thinking like, oh, who's this girl Carrie? I need to meet her. And little did I know, I just saw the name Carrie and for some reason thought female right away. And we get in there to this meeting with our professor and he's calling roll call when we become editors. And, you know, I hear Carrie Edmondson and this voice next to me just goes, here. And it kind of caught me off guard. But, you know, I think that was pretty much the moment where we became friends. We've had many laughs about that story over the years, but you definitely had talent right away, and I think that's what made me notice your photos. How did you get started? How did you know you wanted to take photos? Was it something you were just trying out, or just talk about?
I was an art major at Fresno State, and I found photography a little late, but I remember just being in design class with one of our other friends, Jeremy Rue, and he had taken pictures, you know, with Jerry Tarkanian and all these things, and he was presenting it in our design class. So after the class was over, I was like, how'd you get access to take these pictures? He's like, just go to the Collegian, ask for Jill Richards, who's also a famous photographer from Fresno State as well. But I went in there, took some shots. I remember volleyball was the first sport I ever shot. And volleyball is super hard to shoot photographically. just because, you know, the ball flies around so fast and you have all these bodies in your way and it's hard to, you know, pick out your subject right away. But I shot that game and then, you know, we were doing rolls of negatives back then. But Jill came back out, who was the photo editor at the time, and she's like, you can shoot whatever you want. You know, you rocked it. Like, just let me know. And I was like, yeah, yes, nice. Please. And so next thing you know, that was the year of David Carr in the football team. And so I think I got into shooting football for us, like, probably their second or third game of the year. And one of the most obviously depressing games that I remember and got my first collegiate cover was actually, you know, when we lost to Boise State. But that's just how long I've been doing photography. And I think that, you know, actually that game is probably one of the games where I thought, like, wow, I can actually shoot this stuff, you know, pretty well. And I was pretty new at it. And so then from that point on, I was a sports maniac, as you remember. And I would just shoot recklessly, just, you know, all the sports we had on campus just to get better and better. And then eventually, you know, that landed me jobs at some newspapers out of state. And then, you know, like a boomerang, I came back to Fresno.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it.
That's the common theme, right?
Yeah.
But you've told me a story before off the air about, you know, an art class you were taking and what your professor told you. Talk about that a little bit.
I can't believe you remember that. That's true. I was doing figure drawing, and I remember I was very detailed at what I do. You know, I don't like to just wave my arm around too much. I'm pretty fine, and I do things as extensive as I can with details. And so the professor is trying to get me to loosen up a little bit. So she came around, and I thought I was being, you know, a lot looser with my drawing, but she was just like, no, you know, if you're going to draw like that, you might as well be a photographer. And I was like, great. And it's funny because, I mean, I was nowhere near being a photographer yet. I think I was, you know, a sophomore or junior at that point. But lo and behold, I became a photographer. So she was right.
Hey, it all worked out in the end, yeah. I think that's safe to say at this point after a couple Sports Illustrated covers and all the other accolades. But so, I mean, you said that Boise State game in 2001 is when you kind of started to think like, hey, I'm pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think made you good at sports in particular?
I mean, just being a sports nut, you know, growing up, I mean, I was, my whole world was around sports, whether it was playing or, you know, I was a guy that knew all the stats of every player. You know, when I was younger, you just have an idea of where things are going. You know, not that we knew the plays, you know, where the David Carr is looking, but a lot of times you're just familiar with the patterns and things that are running, because I think that just gave me a little bit of an edge with sports to just kind of have an idea of what was happening next. I mean, I don't know otherwise. I mean, there's a little bit of the artistic side just from, you know, going through school as an art major, and that kind of played a part too. But I think just loving sports kind of helped a lot. You know, you're quick with the action that way.
When you're out there shooting sports now, are you constantly anticipating or trying to anticipate what's going to happen next, where guys might end up, and get those angles right for your photos?
Yeah, you know, I asked a question when I was starting out. We had a conference where I met one of the Sports Illustrated shooters, and I said, how do you know if you should shoot the quarterback or the receiver? You know, like, which one do I go to? It's kind of hard to, like, shoot the quarterback, follow the ball, and then you get the receiver catching. He's like, sometimes you just got to take a pick. You know, you just take a chance. And so there's a lot more chances being taken in photography than some people might realize, you know, but you know, now I kind of stick to the quarterback when I shoot the Raiders, just because it's Derek Carr, so I don't always follow the receiver as much. But, you know, that's on a personal side, so I don't take as many chances on the receivers at Raider games.
Hey, Kerry, can I ask you how much a role that technology plays in photography now? Like, are you thinking about things that you can do in, like, you know, Photoshop and programs and things like that, or is it more just a... When you go out and shoot photography, are you having in the back of your mind, I could add this spin on it with this technology, you know, with the rise of photography and digital photography and technology?
Not sports photography as much, but when we're doing our marketing shots here with some students, there are some times where I know I can Photoshop a few things in for marketing purposes. But I try to, you know, when we're doing the sports and any news-related stuff for Fresno State, it's kind of like I try to keep it legit, like that's the way it actually happened. Because in journalism, you're taught you're not supposed to, you know, change those photos too much. I mean, you can dodge and burn a little bit here and there. But in terms of technology and how good the cameras are, that definitely helps with sports photography. I mean, you got quicker focus items. You can pinpoint players a little bit faster, you know, as they're coming at you. And you don't have to worry about doing the manual focus like they did back in the day.
I think I've been around you enough, too, to know that journalistic integrity is still kind of boiled into what you do. You don't really like faking things much, do you?
Oh, I've seen some things that I won't talk about on air, but there's some photographers that are taking some shots out there you think are real, but there's a lot of Photoshop or staging involved. But I don't do that. No, that's only for our marketing shots.
Yeah, I guess that's what kind of where I was going. Like, do you see that in the industry right now that, you know, people can be like, they're not such a high level, but they can fake it kind of with, like, you know, technology.
Yeah, I think, but more so with the staging than technology. I think a lot of people will dream up their perfect candid photo in their head and then kind of tell some people to you know, act out that image in their head. So, yeah, you can Photoshop anything. There's been some, you could go online and Google some stuff about some photographers who got in trouble for Photoshopping, you know, stuff from like war images and things like that. And they've got caught for like what Eddie was saying. As a journalist, you got to keep that integrity of like documenting what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Talk about your style as a photographer. How would you describe your style?
High contrast, probably. I do like to have a lot of heavy contrast in the photos that I do. I mean, I go for the reactions a lot more than I do anything else. So like, even if you look at my sports photography, I think some of the photos that are my strongest ones are a lot of reaction shots, a lot of celebration or even defeat, you know, that kind of thing. But action's nice, but there's something about that emotion that you get from those reaction shots.
And we should mention, too, you're the university photographer here at Fresno State, but you shoot for USA Today Sports on the weekends in your free time and your off time. That's where you get a lot of these professional events. And your two Sports Illustrated covers, talk about who those subjects were.
Yeah, that was that 3 years ago or two? I can't remember when that was. I think it was 2013, too. But it was Shane Scove for Stanford was my first Sports Illustrated cover, and that was on the college football preview. And then I thought I had made it and just crossed off the bucket list and I was done. And then 2 weeks later, I got Colin Kaepernick on the cover for the NFL preview. So yeah, those were probably just, I can't even explain how excited I was when that first one came out, especially. And then it was more of just another shock treatment 2 weeks later. And I don't know if I'll ever get another cover again, but yeah, that was definitely a twice in a lifetime thing, you know, instead of a once in a lifetime.
Hopefully you'll get Derek Carr one of these days soon, but talk about, you said it was a great feeling. You can't even describe the feeling when you knew you were on Sports Illustrated. Is that a sort of, for someone who does sports photography or just photography in general, is there like a bucket list of accomplishments? I imagine if that is, that Sports Illustrated has to be high up.
It depends on what, you know, area of photography you're focusing on. But if you're in sports photography, there's two magazines that you're dreaming to get the cover for, and that's Sports Illustrated or ESPN the magazine.
Or Fresno State magazine, right?
Correct. Correct. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if I got Derek Carr on Sports Illustrated, that would definitely top the other two even now, even though, you know, it'd be the third one, but it'd feel better than the first.
And this is a sports show, so we're focusing a lot on your sports photography, but you do a lot more than that day to day as a university photographer. Plus you shoot weddings, you shoot some other things on the side on your off time, as well as working for USA Today Sports, covering the Raiders, Niners, Warriors, Giants, etc. What's your typical week like?
Oh, it depends. Yeah. Well, I got a baby too now, so that's actually made it a little bit more challenging in terms of, yeah, thank you. But traveling to the Bay is a little bit harder than it used to be. So I've cut down a little bit, you know, stuck with a lot of the Raiders, you know, a couple Niner games this year. And after the NFL season ends, I'll pick up on some of those Warrior games too. I'd like to see the new Sacramento Kings arena too, because I think they have one of the nicest venues in the NBA now, but I haven't got out there yet. But yeah, it's been a great year too. Just, you know, with the Super Bowl and the NBA Finals, you know, so I don't know if the Warriors are going to make it back again, but it'd be nice to get back to shooting some games at Oracle again in June.
Does that change the way you look at sports a little bit? I know you grow up with your favorite teams or your favorite players. I give you a bad time a lot. I'm a Dodgers fan, and I'm like, hey, you used to root for the Dodgers. Now sometimes I'll catch you rooting for the Giants because you want to shoot a World Series or something. But when you're covering Bay Area sports like that, does that change who you root for a little bit based on what you want to shoot, what type of events you want to have on your schedule?
A lot has changed. Yes, you're correct. But I'm very selfish when it comes to that, because shooting playoffs is unlike any regular season game you can shoot. So everything that I'm going for when I'm shooting these games is the hope of shooting a playoff game later. So right now, with the last two games we got coming up for the Raiders, I am a nervous wreck, because if they go 2-0, looks like I'll get to shoot them, you know, with a bye week at home, and that's what I'm really looking forward to right now. But yeah, definitely I root for anyone local, you know, that's going to get me a playoff game.
Today's a big NFL game, the Colts at the Raiders at 1 p.m. in Oakland. Our Red Wave favorite, Derek Carr, a guy we got to know really well while he was here at Fresno State, is playing in his home finale for the Raiders this year, just named to the Pro Bowl for the second straight year. And he's trying to lead the Raiders to a first-round bye in the playoffs, which would be huge. I mean, they haven't even been to the playoffs, period, since 2002. If they can outpace the Chiefs here these last 2 weeks, the Raiders have a chance to get that first-round bye, and then they'd get a home game. But tonight being Christmas Eve, I know it's one of the very few Raiders games you're not shooting this year, right, Kerry?
That's right. I had some family obligations for that day.
But I know you're rooting hard for the Raiders, and you're hoping for that home playoff game.
Oh, definitely.
It's been a big year for you. I mean, you've shot some big events, right? The Super Bowl in San Francisco, the NBA Finals with the Warriors. You've shot World Series games in the recent past with the Giants, unfortunately.
Right.
Sorry, Giants fans. But would a Raiders Super Bowl led by Derek Carr top it all off?
Yeah, if I could shoot it. yeah, I mean, I would be watching that regardless, even if it's on TV. I mean, I've talked to you about, like, maybe we should put in a credential request with Fresno State Magazine to try and get out to Houston if that were to be the case. But, yeah, I mean.
So you've already looked up the location.
Oh, yeah, we know all about it, you know. And, you know, just even if I'm shooting up high, you know, just to be in that venue, you know, if Derek were to go to Super Bowl, it'd be, you know, amazing to see because, you know, the quarterback's just the biggest position in all of American sports, it seems like. So there'd be nothing like that for sure.
You're a Valley native from Clovis High School originally, a Bulldog alum, as we mentioned, but you've worked all across the country from here to Florida to Vegas. What are some of your favorite games or sports moments you've ever photographed?
I can tell you what my favorite game was that I photographed. It was the Niners versus the Saints. I think it was in the divisional playoffs. I don't remember what year it was, but it was, you know, I think they lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship after that. But it was one of those playoff games that, you know, the first half, you know, wasn't too much going on. And when the second half came, it was just like a fourth quarter shootout. And teams, they just started scoring back and forth. And I could see all the fans were just on edge, you know, biting their teeth and, you know, pulling their hair out. And at the very end, you know, the Niners pulled it off, I think, with a touchdown to Vernon Davis. And just the place erupted, and it's just like, that's why I can't describe the playoff feeling like a regular season game, just because the noise is just amplified to a whole nother level when you're there, and it's just neat, just so neat being on the field when you can hear all that.
Do you ever get close to the point when you're in that type of atmosphere down on the field where you're almost yelling after a play or something like that, or are you just so focused in on what you're doing?
Nah, I'm pretty focused in. I think I've told you the story about that Boise State game when I was starting out, and that's what I've learned is that there's butterflies on the inside, you know, and you're nervous, especially if it's something, you know, like if it's a Fresno State game. Like if we were in a, you know, some NCAA, you know, championship game, I might lose it, I have to admit. But otherwise, you know, there's just been situations where you got to lock it down, you got to focus, and then after you know you've got a few of those shots, then you can kind of like pull away from the camera a bit and, you know, take it all in. But I mean, there's a lot of nerves going on. I remember even at the Super Bowl when Coldplay was jumping on stage and I was like, I can't miss this shot, can't miss it. And he just like looked like he leaped into the crowd. And you know, it's one of those things, like you're saying, you just got to lock in, you just got to get the photo, and you can step back afterwards and you know, enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, you mentioned that Coldplay photo, and I remember seeing that all over the place. But talk about when you're shooting for USA Today Sports, which is, in a sense, almost like a photo wire service. Talk about where your photos end up when, you know, after you shoot a game like that.
Oh, well, yeah, Super Bowls, you know, they're going to go everywhere for that. And but it's like a wire service, like AP or Getty Images. And so basically, I can log in each day and see who's downloading photos. And so I saw one today. It was ESPN, the magazine, and they downloaded a LeBron James shaking hands with Bill Russell after, you know, they beat the Warriors in the finals this year. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go in the magazine, but it means that it's probably on their editing table right now, and we'll see if it makes the cut. So it's pretty cool because you'll go on ESPN.com, ESPN, the magazine, Sports Illustrated, you know, it's all over the web at local newspapers. So anyone that's a Gannett paper too, you know, and you'll see it in USA Today as well. But yeah, photos go all over the place. It's pretty, still never gets old actually seeing your photos in print.
You have a favorite photo you've ever taken?
I don't know the answer to that. That's too tough. I mean, locally, the Devontae Adams one that we mentioned earlier was a big one. I got photographer of the year for all of the colleges back when I was at Stanislaus, and there were some photos in there that I really liked, but those are a little bit more nature based. But yeah, there's so many I even lose track of them. There's nothing stands out right now.
I know my favorite of yours right off the bat is I go back to that 2008 game when Fresno State played at the Rose Bowl against UCLA.
Oh, that's right.
And Ryan Matthews, the defender dove at Matthews midsection. Matthews leaped right over him.
Yeah,
coming toward you on the sideline.
I remember that.
And I remember a couple other people's. I think the B had a photo, but they were behind the play. And you were like kind of right in front of it with him coming right at you.
So yeah,
it was cool positioning. I remember that the guy's helmet on UCLA, the would-be tackler, helmet is touching the underneath Matthew's thigh. You've got the whole crowd blurred in the background. Just an awesome photo. I have it hanging up in my office. That's how I know it so vividly.
That's cool.
But photos like that, I mean, does that just speak to the way you have to anticipate a play to be right in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, and it goes back to those nerves too, because sometimes you see a guy running towards you and you're like, uh-oh, you know, and sometimes you got to think, do I stick with the play? And then also a lot of photographers have two lenses. We have a longer one that shoots close-ups, you know, and you switch to the backup one. So I had to make a decision. Am I switching lenses? Because he's running towards me, I have a little bit of time, and then I'm like, I'm going to switch, you know? And so luckily I did switch, because by switching to a smaller lens, I was able to get the full frame of him just leaping over the guy. So there's a lot of thinking going on and controlling your nerves in situations like that.
You ever been taken out on the sideline?
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Yeah, I knew that question was coming. You know, I've had a couple basketball players, you know, rough me up a little bit, but nothing major that you'd see on ESPN later about a photographer getting tripped up. But I've seen some photographers on our Fresno State sideline actually have their legs taken out, you know, at football games. So I've been lucky so far. I think the biggest scare once is when Shaq fell next to me when I was shooting a game in Miami once. But, you know, luckily I survived.
Wouldn't it almost be worth it, though?
It is. You know, I've always told people, I'm like, I hope Steph Curry, like, because he's a little bit lighter, you know.
Yeah, so a little bit lighter. That's better.
I'd be okay with him, you know, taking me out at a game, you know. But I'd be a little bit more nervous for those big guys like DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento. I don't want him falling on me.
Kerry, we appreciate you being with us today. Great to talk about some sports photos with you. A little bit of a lighthearted topic. We're hoping the Raiders get that W tonight, and maybe the Chiefs will lose to the Broncos tomorrow, and we'll see the Raiders clinch that first round bye.
I hope so, man.
Thanks again to our guest, Kerry Edmondson, and thanks to Kevin Kirsten for producing the show, not just today, but all year long. It's been a great first year with the show. We wish everyone a happy holidays. Thanks for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.